Welcome to the Mercy Hill Sermon Podcast. The sermon you are about to hear was preached on Sunday, October 13th, 2013, by Mr. Brian Vare. The title of the sermon is Jesus' Inviting Command to Find Rest in Him, and it's taken from Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. Thanks for listening.
Pray with me, and then we'll jump into Matthew. God, I see from how you tug on our hearts, how you've put your words and your truths in front of us, God, through Scripture, through our confession of sin this morning, through the songs that we have sung. God, you're preparing our hearts, and I pray that you would open our hearts, open our minds. God, especially mine, as I try to communicate your word, your love, your truth. Be with us now. Let us dwell in your presence now. Amen. Phil asked me a few weeks ago to exhort the word this morning. As I am not ordained, I can't technically preach, but I can exhort the word, so that's what I'm doing. But he asked me what he wanted to continue in his series on Luke, and so this is just kind of a break in between. But he asked me what I've been learning, what I've been going through, and asked, you know, do you think any of this would be helpful to the rest of Mercy Hill? And, you know, the stuff that I laid out from my heart that night on the phone, I have no doubt that this is relevant to each one of us. So, so as we jump into this, apply it, work through it, process through it, you know, even as you sit there and listen and interact with this. So our text is in Matthew 11.
If it's up there. Yep.
So the passage is Matthew 11, 25 through 30. And so we'll read through that, but I'm going to focus on the last three verses there, 28, 29, and 30. So if you could turn there, and then we'll hit this and we'll jump into it. At that time, Jesus said, "I will praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and learned and revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, for this was your good pleasure. All things have been committed to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Jesus could turn to me most often and say, "Oh, you have a little faith," and encourage me in that, and just say, "Hey, this is who I am. This is what I have done for you. This is what I've come to offer you. This is what I've given you. And trust me. Trust me with it." But I am a man of little faith, and you know, as we read through the confession this morning, you know, we have lied to ourselves about our great need. You know, you have been good to us, and we have refused you. As much as I know about God, my Savior, I still continue to try to do life on my own, in my own strength, and in my own power, and I get weary, I get burdened. Feelings of being overwhelmed and just tired and exhausted physically, yes. When you're unloading 22 ton of ammunition, that, you know, 22 tons of lead, that tires you out, right, Matt? When you're up through the night, you know, with sick kids or kids just that aren't going to sleep and you're lacking sleep, you get physically tired and all this stuff. But physical rest, physical exhaustion and weariness aside, Jesus is looking here at rest for our souls, rest for our hearts. And the burdens that we take upon ourselves when it comes to, you know, for me, whether it's family drama, dealing with a sibling who we can't see eye to eye on, and so we're going through counseling sessions, and it's constantly weighing on my heart and mind, knowing that God wants restoration, but at the same time not being able to find it with her. My desire to be a godly husband and father, and not being able to live up to the shoulds and the desires. I'm not the father I should be. I'm not the husband I should be. I'm not the employee I should be. So I take these unrealistic expectations upon myself and get weary, get burdened. You know, we have worries, we have fears that settle on our shoulders, settle on our minds, settle on our hearts, where we're left with, you know, that pit in our gut, that anxiety, the stress that you know affects us physically. And here Jesus is offering us rest. So as we look at these three verses, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The first thing I see is this come to me. And I played with whether is this a command or is it an invitation from Jesus, and my conclusion, it's both. It's not one or, it's both. Jesus is beckoning us, saying, hey, you are tired, you are weary, you have all this stuff on your hearts that's causing you stress and anxiety and worry and fear. I love you. Come to me and and I'll help you with this stuff. So it's an inviting. At the same time, and this really helps being a parent, being, you know, in a parent's perspective, you see your child dealing with an issue. They could be 2, 3, 6, where, I mean, my oldest is 6, so that's where I cap off in terms of experience with kids. But you look at things that they're doing that are causing them unnecessary grief, and so there's a command for them to stop and come and find rest. They don't need to be crying and flipping out about whatever issue it is, that their toy is lost or whatever it is. Come to me, we'll make it better. So this inviting command to find rest for our souls. In that same sense, we look at Jesus' motivation here to offer this rest, which is coming from his heart of love. You know, we read that in Psalm 51 about his great love for us. We read it all over. You know, for God so loved the world, and because of his great love for us, you know, God does these things for us. Jesus does these things for us. his heart is love, and so we respond to his love in this. He's not trying to force us or burden us with anything else, but it's just an honest, come to me, I love you. Talked a little bit about what burdens us, what makes us weary, what overwhelms us, and you know, you can look at just life responsibilities, whether it's school or work, family stuff, finances. One thing I shared with Phil as I was preparing for this is some of the burden and weariness I feel as a believer, as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, is I can get caught up in the letter of the law versus the spirit of the law stuff that comes with being in the church and being a Christian. I'm not praying enough. I'm not serving enough. I'm not reading my Bible enough. And so the conviction turns to guilt, turns to a burden, turns to a weariness, to the point where I don't even want to do them anymore because they've become this thing. It hasn't become a joy anymore. It's become a burden and a weary thing. When I look at all the things that make us weary, make us burdened, they're at the base of it. It's sin. That's what it is. Sin is what burdens us. Sin is what makes us weary. It's the selfishness. It's the pride. It's the anger. It's you know the list. It's all there. You've probably got some of your own things in your head right now. But when we look at it, it is sin. Here again in this beginning, you know, come to me. Jesus saying, come to me. He's speaking with authority. He's telling us to come to him. He knows. He knows what's in our hearts. He knows what's in our minds. And he knows that he's offering something better. He knows that we do not need to live in this state of weariness and burden. So in his authority and his love, he tells us to come to him. I want to point out he doesn't tell us to go to church, and that's where we're going to find rest. He doesn't tell us to get our lives in order and become more disciplined, and then we'll find rest. You know, he says, come to me. It's not a matter of trying harder or trying some new idea. It's simply come to me, approaching Jesus in our weariness and our burden. My mind immediately goes to, you know, the prodigal son. He went out, tried to do life on his own, and finally got to his end where he had nothing left, and he was weary and burdened. And so he returns to his father, and his father has been waiting for him and sees him far off, and there's no hesitation. The father runs to him and receives him and blesses him and gives to him and gives him rest. So it's the same for us. It's a simple call from Jesus to come to him. Whoever wrote the confession this morning, I just really appreciated it. That first line, that we have lied to ourselves about our great need, and for this deceit we confess our sin. One of my questions as I was looking through this is, do we even see our need for rest? Do we realize that we do need rest? So that's, I don't know, just something to ponder on. But I would say, yes, you need rest. There it is. It is as simple as coming to Jesus, but it's also not that simple. There's more to it. You know, some people think that all right, they've heard the gospel. They've heard that they're a sinner. They believe they're a sinner. They've heard that Jesus died on the cross for their sins and rose again, and that if you admit you're a sinner, believe in your heart that Jesus died for you, and confess you know, your sin and call on Christ to be Lord of your life, that there you go, you're set. That's all you need to do. All you need to do is come to Jesus, and then everything's going to be good. Life's going to be peachy. You're not going to have any more struggles. You're not going to deal with anything else. We know that's not the case. It's not biblical. It's not the story of our lives. It's not the experience of our lives. And so we continue in these verses, and we see where Jesus says, all right, it's a command to come, and then to take, and then to learn. So we move in this next part. You know, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So take my yoke upon you. So you come to Jesus looking for rest, because he's offering rest out of love. And when you come to him, you not only join up with him, you join up with Jesus. This idea of taking his yoke upon you. So you're joining up with Jesus, but you're also falling under his authority. When Matthew wrote this, I don't know what his intention was behind using this idea of yoke. Two different ideas where oxen can be yoked together over the shoulders. Usually you have a more experienced ox with a younger, less experienced one, and you put them together to work towards, to get the job done, to work towards a goal. So if you think about this, you can be yoked together with Jesus. So no longer are you alone trying to do this thing called life by yourself, but you're connected with him now. He's teaching you and leading you as you're both moving forward. You still have, you know, work to do, responsibility to do, but here's Jesus, you know, next to you, teaching you how it works, showing you how it works, and taking you forward. So being joined up with Christ, what an encouraging idea, just to know that when we do, when God moves in our heart, when the Spirit does call us, when we choose to follow him, that we are his brother. Jesus is our brother. He is yoked together with us. This other idea of yoke is specific. Rabbis would have certain lifestyles or teachings, and their yoke was a sign of the extra do's and don'ts that they would add to the law. And so there was a certain just a certain style or a certain way that they would do life, where they added certain things. So folks would choose to follow these different rabbis based on what they taught, and they would fall under their authority, and they would fall in line with these extra do's and don'ts of how to live. And so Jesus, as a rabbi, as a teacher, when we fall under his authority and his way of doing life, just another idea of putting on his yoke. And we'll come to more of that later when we talk about his yoke being easy and his burden light. as I considered this idea of taking on his yoke, I think about the weariness and the burden that I already carry. And so in order to put on the yoke, whether it's a yoke with oxen or it's throwing, falling under the authority of a certain teaching, in order to take, you need to throw off. You need to be released and get rid of something first. And so there it is. It's this idea of throwing off the sin and then putting on this yoke that Christ has offered us and given us. Like I mentioned earlier, when we face all these anxieties and worries and things in life, I'm sure I'm not alone, but we try to do all these things and tackle all these things and handle all these things on our own. And so we're holding on to certain ideas and we're holding on to selfishness and pride. And those are the things we need to throw off. We need to let go of out of our grasp. As we take off that sin, as we put off that sin, we need to put on Christ's righteousness. Righteousness he offers for us. Looking into Romans, for sin shall not be your master, because you are not under law but under grace. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Again, Jesus is asking us to come to him humbly, to see our need for him, to go to him in our need. He's already died on the cross for our sin. He's offering us rest for this sin, freedom from this sin. And so as we confess our sin and as we come to him, we throw that off and we take on his life, his righteousness, becoming slaves to righteousness instead of sin. So we come to him, we take on his yoke, and we learn from Jesus. He's our example. As our teacher, it says he's humble in heart, he's gentle and humble in heart. And as we learn from him, we'll find rest for our souls. Again, this kind of goes back to this idea of yoke. If we're connected with him in this yoke, we're learning. We're learning how to plow the field. We're learning how to navigate life side by side with Christ. And so we're learning from him. This gentle and humble in heart. From what I read, these extra do's and don'ts that some of the rabbis would put on and ask their followers to abide by could be very burdensome just in that. The extra do's and don'ts added to the law, added to the way of living. And I see just Jesus saying, all right, I thought we've made this clear. Like, I have saved you. Jesus is telling them, I have saved you. It is by grace through faith. It's nothing that you do. It's nothing that you can do. So why do you burden yourselves with all these things of doing when I've done it for you already? So Jesus is gentle. He's not cracking the whip. He's not harsh. He's not putting extra pressure on us. As we learn from Jesus, as you flip through the Gospels, as you read his life, the stories of his life, and his words, how he approached people, how he interacted with his Father, there's too much to learn. And so my encouragement is to jump into the Gospels and learn from him. But we look at his life and we see that Jesus had all these potential burdens to bear. The leaders were after him, wanted to kill him. His disciples were were of little faith and weren't understanding and weren't getting it. Everywhere he went, people were approaching him, asking him for things, asking them to heal them or do miracles. He didn't have a home to go to. He didn't know where the next meal was coming from. So, you know, as we look at all these things, if we were put in that spot, there would be much worry and anxiety and burden. Jesus didn't experience that as we would. We see a contrast between, you know, his concerns and the concerns of the disciples. You know, when the children wanted to come to him and he said, and they, you know, the disciples told him, no, go away. Jesus is busy. He's got more important things to do. You know, Jesus had the time, had the heart, he wanted the children to come to him. So these conflicting ideas of what it looks like to love and to be obedient. You know, the disciples concerned about, you know, the storm when they're out in the boat and Jesus is still sleeping and they're like, Master, come on, you know, we're about to die here. And Jesus not concerned with that. Like, come on, guys, I created all this. I got it. I'm in control. So some things that Jesus did do that we can learn from. I think he focused on his goal. He knew why he had come. He and the Father had set this up a long time ago. This was their rescue plan. And so with this goal, with this purpose in mind, he was able to take each thing as it came. As he's on his way to somebody else's house to heal their child, you know, this lady touches his garment and you know, the disciples are probably tugging on him, saying, come on, we got to go. And he goes, wait a second, somebody touched me. I felt power leave from me. And he was able to stop and deal with this woman in a loving way, not a rushed way, not a, you know, hey, I've got something else to do. So he wasn't distracted by things, I think is what it was. He saw how the events that he was... that came before him, how those things fit into God's plan. He also retreated by himself. He got away. He spent time with his Father. We see that multiple times. And he also spent time in fellowship with his friends and his disciples. We weren't supposed to do life on our own. So a lot of this coming to find rest from Jesus, I think he encourages us to do this with other people. So we come, we take his yoke upon us, we learn from him, we find rest. He says rest for our souls. Consider what rest looks like. Right now it's a good, you know, 2-3 nights of sleeping through the night, you know, getting good solid 8 hours of sleep a night. But rest is freedom. Rest is liberty. Rest is, it's freedom from these worries, freedom from these burdens. It's the rest that Jesus offers is freedom from sin and all the hindrances that sin brings with it. Come back to he says, take this yoke of take my yoke upon you, and he talks about, you know, taking. You know, as we throw something off, as we throw the weariness and the burdens and the sin off, the pride, the selfishness, as we throw that off, he wants us to throw his yoke on. And he talks about, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And I think we could be confused and think that, all right, once we've set off in this journey with Christ, that we're not going to have a burden anymore. We don't need a yoke. And it's not true, because in this life, Matt and I were talking about it on the way to work one morning. While we've come to Christ, while we have the Spirit thriving within us, while we're desiring to live godly lives, and Jesus has indeed given us rest from our sin, He's given us freedom from our sin, we're still experiencing the consequences of sin now. So yes, in the end, He offers us absolute, total rest. When we're in His presence, when we're done with this life, when we're with Him, that's when we experience it. But at the same time, we eternal life, for those who believe, have already started. That's already started. So this taste of rest, I mean, we're already living in it. That already not yet idea. But Matt and I were talking about it. We not only have to continually come to Jesus for rest for our own sins, but we're also burdened and grow weary because of the sins of others in our lives. It's not just our sin that causes us grief. It's other people's sin that causes us grief as well. And so Jesus is asking us to come to Him, take on His yoke, learn from Him to find this rest. My mind went right to Paul in Philippians, where he's encouraging folks to rejoice. And when we look at Paul's life, he is suffering the consequences of sin and the sins of other people. His life is not easy. He is clearly suffering, whether it's being imprisoned or being in want. But Paul talks about this contentment and this joy that he has. And so this rest that Jesus is offering isn't a rest from any more difficult things coming across our path. It's not that we're going to, he's not saying that we're going to be set financially and not have to worry about any family drama. We're not going to have to worry about anything in this life. He's saying, no, in the midst of that, I'm offering you this hope that that you are going to find joy in the midst of this. You are going to find contentment in the midst of this. You're getting the taste of heaven now. And so live for this hope of complete and utter freedom from sin. Again, I want us to understand and know that Jesus is offering us rest. We're not stuck under our burdens. We're not stuck with our weariness. There's hope in Christ as we come to Christ, as we take on His yoke, as we learn from Him. This is His promise, that we will find rest, that you will find rest. I mentioned earlier some of the burden and weariness that I take upon myself as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, is the I don't pray enough, I don't read the Bible enough, I don't serve enough, and so I start feeling like a failure in terms of a Christian. I'm not teaching, I'm not leading my wife properly, I'm not teaching my kids as much as I should teach them, from the Scriptures, and so I get this burden. And so when I face, growing up in the church, when I face an issue, face a difficulty, and somebody gives me the simple answer of, oh, you just need to pray more, you need to read the Bible more, I'm tired of that answer. While I know it's true, I'm tired of hearing that. Because that's the exact thing that I'm burdened by and struggle with. So I'm a little hesitant in telling you the same exact thing, but here it is. Just five quick points in application. When we confess your sin, come to Jesus. The sin is the source of the weariness, the anxiety, the stress, the burden. So come to Christ in humility. Confess your sin. And hey, guess what that's called? It's called prayer. So pray, confess. Confess your sin. See your pride, see your selfishness, see how that is the source of your weariness, your burden. Don't wallow in the guilt. You're going to feel overwhelmed. You're going to feel pressured. You're going to feel anxious. But let conviction be what it is. Allow the Spirit to smack you with something and say, this is what it is. He's naming the sin in your life. But understand that Jesus has said, you know, I've come to give you rest, not to burden you down anymore. There's a big difference between conviction and guilt. And guilt just continues you down the path of sin. So in conviction, there's this repentance, and there's a turning from sin. There's a throwing off of that sin. And then there's a putting on and turning towards Christ, yoked together with Him, falling under His authority. And that's the repentance. That's the turning. So don't wallow in the guilt. Be transformed by the renewing of your minds. He says, learn from me. This involves, you know, being here, hearing the word taught and preached. It involves sitting down and reading scriptures for yourselves. You know, Jesus says, learn from me. These guys were fortunate enough that the guys he was talking to, you know, could learn from the man as they interacted with him. We can also learn from the man, but what we have is in the scriptures. So as he tells us and invites us and commands us to learn from him, we remember that we're learning from him in order to find rest. There's rest that he promises. Lastly, mentioned it before, don't do this on your own. I look at God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's a Trinity. Perfect love, perfect communion, perfect relationship within the Trinity. God has created us in His image. In our image, He says, we have created man. And so we are created for the same love, the same communion, the same fellowship, the same relationship. And the danger is when we get in these spots of weariness and burden and anxiety and stress, we isolate. We try to do our things ourselves. We not only yoke up with Christ, but we need to yoke up with our brothers and our sisters. And we need to not do this alone. As I worked through this, I was just encouraged by Mercy Hill. As we walk in for a Sunday morning gathering, we do these things. We come in and we join together corporately, but we confess our sin. We approach God's throne, worshiping Him for who He is, confessing our sin in light of who He is. He's holy. At the same time, not wallowing in the guilt, because right after we read our confession of sin, you know, God always gives us a word of hope, a word of encouragement, always speaks truth into our hearts and says, you've sinned, but I've reached down into the pit and pulled you out of death and brought you into life. Being transformed by the renewing of our minds, we move from confession to this word of hope to taking in the teaching from the word, from the scriptures, and hopefully our minds are transformed and grow from this. And then we always wrap up with everybody talking and chatting and sharing food in the back, and we fellowship and we continue that fellowship and that learning. And life together throughout the week. So I appreciate that Mercy Hill is set up in such a way where we're intentional about doing these things, because these are the things that Christ has asked us to do. So come to Jesus, take on His yoke, learn from Him, and He promises to show us rest, help us find rest. So let's pray.
You've been listening to the Mercy Hill Sermon Podcast. If you'd like to learn more about us, please visit our website at www.mercyhillnj.org. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock at the Church House, located at 1050 Hollydale Court in Sewell, off of Delsey Drive, behind Terra Nova Restaurant, and in the cul-de-sac adjacent to the Hollydale Ice Arena. We'd love for you to join us. Please see our website for directions. Thanks again for listening to the Mercy Hill Sermon Podcast.